Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. It's our final show of the week. We're combining our model show and final pick show because of the debacle that was yesterday's Senate hearing. The Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations brought in the PGA Tour's Ron Price, their COO, and Jimmy Dunn, the board member who was instrumental in negotiating at least the initial terms of what turns out to be a framework agreement between the PGA Tour and the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia. That took 3 hours, and you had to decompress it, all that stuff. By the time it was all over, I was absolutely out of gas. So, wound up running the model last night, like 7:30, 8 o'clock, and I figured you didn't want a podcast in your feed at, 11 p.m. So, we're going to combine everything together here and do the two tournaments that we have on the PGA Tour / DP World Tour side between the Genesis Scottish Open and the Barbasol Championship. We'll touch a little bit on the Dana Open on the LPGA side of things. That's in the Toledo, Ohio area, but we'll put it all together here and give you an idea of what we want to do this week. Just did a podcast hit with Nick Switala out in Vegas, which was great. We talked some Barbasol Championship, mostly talked Genesis Scottish Open, had some really interesting questions and picks, so check him out if you have a chance. If you haven't been thinking about this too much, I will run down the model results for the Scottish Open. And I will tell you that I'm not publishing a model around the Barbasol Championship because I tried it. I really did try to do it last night. I ran everything. I have an opposite field model. It was awful. I mean, I looked at the results and was like, this doesn't make any sense to me. And that's in large part because so many players in this field have no data. Because they are DP World Tour players, so my database does not include DP World Tour strokes gained, and frankly, I'm not really sure the best way to incorporate that in a mixed tour model, to be honest with you, because we could do it with quality strokes gained, and that's totally fine, but strokes gained in a PGA Tour event and strokes gained in a DP World Tour event, there's some difference there, and I don't know exactly the equivalency you've got to make there. So just I the formula came out, or the model came out, I was like, nope, we're not doing this. We'll just make actual picks based on current results and make some thoughts based on that. But I do want to go into the Scottish Open model because I think it's one, pretty obvious, but two, has some fairly interesting results. The top 10 here are going to be probably mostly what you expect, although not entirely. Some guys are a little bit better off than you might think. Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele is the defending champion, Patrick Cantlay, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Sun J.M., Victor Hovland, who I think is great this week and next, Shane Lowry, a lot of people I've seen like, I think for good reason, and Sam Burns rounds out the top 10. Then you start to get into some picks that I think are interesting, Jordan Spieth at 12, Matt Fitzpatrick at 13, which I think is a good play, Max Homa at 14, Corey Connors at 15, I think is very much underappreciated, Brian Harman and Justin Rose at 16 and 17, I think, are underappreciated. Ricky Fowler comes in 22nd. Ryan Fox, 22nd. A couple guys I want to point out deeper in the model that I think you should care about this week that are deeper shots, and I believe we've talked about them, but I'll emphasize them again given their current form. Aaron Rye is 26, and Minwoo Lee is 29. Alex Noren is 28. I'm going to stay away from him, but there is reason to like him. Ludvig Åberg is 31st in the model, which is pretty wild. And then one other guy I want to point out here from a long shot standpoint is Doug Gim. He's been playing really good golf the last few times out. And if you look at his performance in the short-term model, just the short-term model, last 10 PGA Tour events played, he's in the top 18. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He's actually 15th in terms of total strokes gained in his last 10 events. He's actually docked here, and this is maybe one of those red flags, though, if you're going to go, hey, well, Doug Gim's playing great. I should like him. Minwoo Lee is 14th, by the way. Corey Connors, 13th. But if you look at Doug Gim's total strokes gained on average per round in the last 10 events, 1.195 strokes. That's great. But his quality strokes gained is a red flag because it's less, 1.162. Typically, if you're a better player, you're playing in better events. You're playing in fields where you have an opportunity to have a positive multiplier from your quality strokes gained, which means you're playing in a field where there's at least 50.1 technically points to the winner of the event. So Doug Gim's been playing in events where that's not been the case, and that means he has a lower quality strokes gained than actual strokes gained. The opposite case, which I think is fascinating, is Eric Cole. So he's been playing pretty decent golf, not as best off the tee. He's also been playing a lot of golf, but he's at 1.87 on the average. On the quality strokes gained measure, it's 1.527 because he's been playing better golf. Same thing with Aaron Rye. Same problem with Doug Gim. The thing is, Aaron Rye is an extremely good approach player. He's averaging 0.883 strokes on the approach per round last 10 PGA Tour events. And his total strokes gained is 1.12, but his QSG is 0.95, which means he's been doing it against weaker fields. Something to be concerned about, something to consider. Another guy I think that people are going to sleep on this week, and they shouldn't, is Ryan Fox. He's not really elite in any particular level, but his quality strokes gained is above that 1.5 mark that I think is important. That's because he plays sparingly, even though he does have that special temporary membership. He's not playing a lot of things. He's playing in big things. So that's important to note. And then the other guy I will point out here is Patrick Harrington. Harrington has been playing, obviously, sparingly on the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. He has been crushing it on the Champions Tour. But his QSG number is 1.955. He's really gaining his strokes with chipping and putting, which is really strange to say. He's losing it off the tee. Very middle of the road in terms of approach play. So I've told you about him earlier this week, and I think for good reason, but he's a guy I wanted to point out here this week. Another guy I would point out is Audrey Arnaz, who is not playing really well at anything except approach play. So if you want him from a super deep perspective, that's kind of interesting too. But if you want me to go down the top 10 of the short-term model, you're going to see a lot of overlap here, right? Scottie Scheffler, McIlroy, Schauffele, Hatton, Fowler's outside the top 10 in the long-term model, but fifth here, Cantlay, Fleetwood, Wyndham Clark, Justin Rose is a name I really, really, really like this week. Adam Scott, Victor Hovland, I think that's 10. Matt Fitzpatrick, if that's not 10. So that's your short-term. Of those in the top 10 that are ranked highly in the short-term model, the ones that are gaining at least 0.6 strokes on average per round on the approach, worth pointing out. Scottie Scheffler is just crushing it. You knew that. Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, Corey Connors. Minwoo Lee, who we have loved and we continue to love, is losing strokes on the approach. So while I will argue for him this week and next very vehemently, he is not playing his best golf on the approach. He's crushing it off the tee because he hits the crap out of the ball, and he is actually putting it very well. If he can just clean up approach play a little bit, he could win a claret jug, and I'm not kidding about that. So, pointing that out, for Doug Gim, I know we talked about kind of the red flags, but he is gaining in every facet of the game. That doesn't always happen. There are lots of players who are very good at one or two facets and then lose somewhere else, especially happens around the green a lot, like Xander Schauffele, for example, but he's gaining in every facet of the game. So that is something worth pointing out here as we get ready. And then I wanted to point out some horses for courses, or rather current form guys. We don't really have horse for course plays or course fits. The second year of this tournament, it's one of the problems with modeling this thing this week is you don't have multiple years of PGA Tour player strokes gain data, significant numbers of PGA Tour players. You might have had them come over for the Scottish Open at different times, but when this was a DP World Tour event exclusively, not a co-sanctioned affair, you didn't have strokes gained really, and the players who were competing in it, the field was less, so you didn't really have much to work with there. So in year two of this, I'm not going to recommend course fits. And we don't really have event history for, as a PGA Tour co-sanctioned event. Again, you can talk about players who have fared well in this tournament in the last 5 years, but that was as a DP World Tour event, so a lot of the big names aren't just going to be a part of it. But I do want to point out players who have had multiple top 15 finishes in the last five individual PGA Tour events. Patrick Cantlay, Tommy Fleetwood, Ricky Fowler has three, Rory McIlroy has three, all the others have two. Adam Hadwin, I think, is worth pointing out. I think he's going to be slept on this week. He should not be. Brian Harman is playing really, really well. Minwoo Lee, we mentioned earlier. Colin Morikawa and Aaron Rye. So let's take all that information. Let's look at where we are in the marketplace for the week. And right now you're getting Rory McIlroy DraftKings at 10 to 1. What I have, and once again, they're throwing out that promotion where you can get plus 300 on any golfer to win. So if you like Scottie Scheffler, who's 6.5 to 1, you might want to consider that, getting him at 9 to 1 or McIlroy at 13 to 1. Cantlay interests me because he's been playing so well. He doesn't win often, but I think he could be a really interesting player here. He's at 14 to 1, Shoffley 16. Hatton has been bet down from 22 to 16, but he's technically 19 now with this promotion. So it's not too big of a penalty, I suppose. Tommy Fleetwood, I actually like more. He's held at 22. So you get him at 25. Ricky Fowler is at 18. Fitzpatrick, 25. Some people have come in on Wyndham Clark, it seems like. He was probably misvalued. Lowry and Lee, I like both, 35 to 38. Justin Rose, I really like at 45 to 48. Sam Burton's ranks well in the model, but I do not love him on these fescue-style surfaces quite yet. I don't have that much trust, even though he has shown at times that he can maybe evolve a little bit on courses he doesn't like or surfaces he doesn't like, taking Memorial into hand here, but I'm going to stay away from him. Ryan Fox at 65 to 1. Corey Connors at 55 to 1. I'm interested in both of those. Aaron Rye is 75 to 1. That's a guy I'm interested in for sure. Adrian Meronk is an interesting case. He's won a bunch of national opens. He seems to kind of like these types of things, but he hasn't translated very well into PGA Tour large fields yet. Just hasn't happened. So I'm going to stay away from him. I'm going to point him out, but I'm going to stay away from him. Alex Smalley also interests me quite a bit, playing really well of late. Again, had a good finish. So he actually should be on the list of multiple top 15s. 80 to 1. Maybe this is too big of a step up in competition. He's been playing a lot of golf lately, but he has been playing good golf lately. Rasmus Højgaard just won on the DP World Tour, 4 days ago? He's 100 to 1. I think he deserves better than that. Seamus Power's starting to kind of put it together, 110 to 1. I could be interested in. Brian Harman at 110 to 1, I think is really interesting because you've gotten some random winners in this tournament over the years, and I don't think you have to be especially long to do well here. He's playing great golf. A couple of guys from the DP World Tour I will point out. Alexander Bjork is a tremendous approach player. We talk about him. If you tune out every week when I do the DP World Tour picks, he's a great approach player. He's a great ball striker. You should be thinking about him here. He had a good finish last week. Same thing with Torbjørn Olsen. Had a really nice comeback year this year. You should be looking at him. If you want to look at Pablo Larrazabal at 350 to 1, just does not make sense. He has played so well this year on the DP World Tour, and I understand this may not be his favorite style, but he's playing great golf, and I think that's a misprice. Same thing with Joost Luiten, 250 to 1, misprice for sure this week. Callum Tarrin, I haven't talked about him yet this week, and I'm going to talk about him because he's right next to Yannick Paul at 250 to 1, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, Yannick Paul, wasn't he even playing the Golden State Tour a few years ago? Yes, he was, but he's also evolved into a very nice DP World Tour player. Guy has a decent chance of being on the Ryder Cup team, and a guy that's a great approach player, and this will be a little bit more of his element compared to traveling to the United States to play 250 to 1. But I want to mention Callum Tarrin, and I want to mention him because he's 200 to 1. He's a longer hitter. He's in the top 50 of strokes gained in the short term. Where he is struggling is putting and chipping. That's always been his problem. But when he's struggling putting and chipping on the PGA Tour, he's doing so on quicker surfaces. Slower surfaces tend to mitigate the skill of putting. It's more about speed than line. It's the opposite when it's fast. It's more about line than speed, right? Like, you just got to get it started. But you got to get it started in the right place, or otherwise you blow it. It's the other way with slower greens. I think it can help him this week. So I think he is significantly mispriced here. And I would bang the table on that to get you interested in that. Same thing with Victor Perez, who I think is very much mispriced. Do I point him out or not? Let's throw out Christian Bezuidenhout also. I think he's worth bringing up at 180-1. Again, if you look in the short term, he's gaining almost two-thirds of a stroke per round on the approach. He's gaining about, combined between approach and putting, a little over a stroke around. Where he's losing is off the tee. Well, on a fast and firm surface, it doesn't really matter that much. You're not going to struggle. You're going to have shorter clubs in, and I think he could be an interesting play this week. I did not look at where he is in the model, but just looking it up right now, he's 42nd. He's definitely mispriced this week, in my view, given his short-term form and just where he's at as a player. Same with Eric Cole, same with Patrick Harrington. Some people bet Harrington, though, because he's 130-1. That, I don't know. That's a little crazy, but, well, what the heck. So, some bombs there to be interested in. I mean, the way the season has gone, we've had a lot of quality winners, but recently we've had some kind of nice stories that we weren't expecting necessarily, so worth looking at there. I'm not going to do... I just still want to point out Nikolai Van Dellinghausen for a top 40 here. I don't know if anyone's taken him. Oh, man, people took him. Plus 650, so some people got in on, got down on that. I hope you did. I hope you put a whole boatload of money on that. I hope you had fun with that. I put a little cash on that. Then I want to look at a couple of matchups for the week. Again, these are not my favorite things, but we'll do tournament matchups. Justin Rose over Sam Burns. I'll take that. Thank you. That's minus 120 for him. Victor Hovland and Ricky Fowler at minus 110 each. When I talked with Nick in Vegas just a little while ago, he was, I think, talking about the Superbook had Hovland minus 130 over Rick. I would take him minus 110 here. Absolutely. I would consider taking Matt Fitzpatrick at plus 115 over Tyrrell Hatton. I know that's a sexy pick to bet to win outright, but they're not that far apart in the model. I think Fitzpatrick can do well here. Minwoo Lee minus 120 against Justin Thomas. I would probably play that. Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy is really interesting to me because Scheffler's minus 150 because he's just so strong from tee to green, and McIlroy's plus 125. That's just crooked enough to get you to bet Rory McIlroy, which is probably why you should bet Scottie Scheffler. But maybe they know something we don't know. I don't think they do, but maybe they do. Point that out. This week is a hard week, as I mentioned, to model both tournaments because it's hard to factor in the DP World Tour players, and you really don't have a lot of them in the matchup standpoint. You could probably go find at least the premier matchups. You could probably go find some other matchups at different books that focus on those players. But generally speaking, I think you have an opportunity here to bet some guys from the DP World Tour that are good players that don't get a lot of love and don't get a lot of attention and may have an outside chance to win this thing. So just wanted to point that out this week. Conversely, I don't know what the heck is going on with the Barbasol Championship. The field is not good. We are scraping the bottom of the barrel to get to 156, even with the DP World Tour integration this week. It is not, again, I ran the model for this and just came away disgusted because it doesn't make any sense. But let's kind of put out into the universe maybe some idea of who could win this week. Taylor Pendrith is 16-1. He's starting to play a little bit better. Kind of struggled this year, but he really hasn't lost a lot in the way of world ranking points. So it doesn't look as bad as it maybe is, but his length here should be a big asset. Peter Quest is 22-1. You can't bet that. You just can't. I just don't think you can. If he wins, awesome, but he might be out of gas. Same with Lucas Glover. I like Glover more than Quest. They're both 22-1. I would rather bet Glover than Peter Quest. MJ Dathu, who cannot putt, is 28-1. But Akshay Bhatia, a guy who I think can actually win, is 28-1. There's a contrast. Kevin Streelman's interesting. Second here last year, just kind of navigates these weak fields pretty well. Justin Lauer is worth pointing out, 35-1. Andrew Novak's been bet down a little bit, 35-1. He's just making a ton of cuts. I think he's interesting. Ryan Gerard, I will look at it, 50-1. As I said earlier in the week, I think in our one show this week, Josh Teeter, 65-1 is worth a look too. As I said earlier in the week, the way these things tend to turn out, not always, because you have some surprises. I don't think you had Trey Mullinax winning last year. Probably didn't. But the way these things tend to work out is someone who's playing well does win. You don't always get like I can't believe that happened. But if you're using Trey Mullinax as your guide star here, and I don't think you should because Jim Herman's won here too. And actually, he had a really nice week last week. I was looking through the model and looking through the field. Last week, Jim Herman was T63. And I understand he's not playing the best golf. He's made, two of his last five cuts, three of his last six. He hasn't been playing a whole lot, but he did show at least a couple of signs of interest last week. So, former winner worth throwing out. Ryan Moore is also worth throwing out, in my view, at 90-1. A guy who might be interesting that's a DP World Tour guy is Johannes Veerman. He's an American, but 90-1. Could be worth having this week. Russell Knox, 110-1, starting to maybe get a little bit better, is worth looking at. I don't know why Jazz Jane Wattenaud is 130-1. I'm going to take him for like $5 because he's a great approach player. He's beat up on weak fields. Most of that was on the Asian Tour, but he's done a little bit on the DP World Tour. But generally speaking, you're an absolute sicko if you bet on this because you have no idea what's going to happen. But it'll give you a sweat on maybe for 30 minutes on Thursday before your whole card gets blown up. So worth pointing that out. And then I wanted to get into the Dana Open because we haven't talked about that this week. Highland Meadows Golf Club, Sylvania, Ohio. It's a Toledo-based event. And the outright board has Rose Zhang at number one, 6-1. That's outrageous. I know she's a great player. I know she's been in the top 10 a bunch. I know she's had a great start to her professional career, but pricing her better than Jin Young Ko seems bonkers. Just bonkers. So don't bet that. If she wins, awesome. But no. Minji Lee, I'm interested in 14-1. She had a really nice title defense at the U.S. Women's Open. Janet Lin or Xiu Lin, 10-1. That's too short for me, even though she's playing really, really well. Brooke Henderson at 14, I think, is going to be underappreciated this week. I would look at her. She had a really nice U.S. Women's Open, similar to Minji Lee, like very much under the radar. I think people are sleeping on her a little bit. Se-young Kim may have figured something out. She's not had a very good year this year, but she had a really nice finish at the U.S. Women's Open, just 30-1. Aditi Ashok, I'm going to keep pointing out to people at 40-1. She's tremendously accurate off the tee. She's a good ball striker. She's won this year. She's got a trophy in hand. She's playing her best golf on the LPGA. I would absolutely look at her. I'm going to keep pointing out, I'm going to mess up her last name, but she's Australian. Stephanie Kiriakou, 70-1. I really like her game. Lauren Coughlin at 80-1. Keeps showing up, keeps playing pretty okay golf. She showed up at the Women's PGA Championship. I think that's worth at least a consideration. She was T15 at the Women's PGA. She didn't even get into the U.S. Women's Open. And she was T27 at the Mizuho Americas Open, T25 at the Founders Cup, T27 at the JM Eagle Championship in Los Angeles. It's not bad. That's not a bad run. I mean, it's representative of someone who's 80-1, but I think in an event like this, which has a weaker field compared to most LPGA events, she is interesting at 80-1. So I will point her out here. And after that, it starts to get a little bit... You're swimming a little too deep there, I think. There are just a lot of players who, for one reason or another, you may like them for something, but I'm just going to say, you know, no thank you here at this point. So, not a whole lot of action there in the Dana Open. It's a weaker field event. It may be a tiring week for a lot of players because they just played a major championship. That's why I would say don't think about Allison Corpuz, who I give a ton of credit for playing this week. She could easily just WD'd and not bothered, but she kept her commitment. She's going to play this thing. But that's, I think, the extent of it this week. I would look at Minji and Brooke, Se-young, and then if you want to throw a bomb at it, maybe. I mean, Stephanie Meadow, I don't know. She shows up so rarely. Lauren Coughlin, Stephanie Kiraku, that would be what I would go ahead and try to shop around this week. And maybe you have a little sweat on it. Maybe you just don't bet on the LPGA. But one thing I do want to point out, I saw a tweet yesterday, and I forget who it's from. I'm sorry. But that betting handle on women's sports, so that includes the LPGA, is up 40% this year. So some of you are betting this, and hopefully you're getting some money back out of that. But it's a fun sweat. It really is. I like the LPGA, especially this year, because you're getting some weird outcomes. You're not getting just the same three people winning over and over again. Maybe a little bit of a transition year for whatever reason. So you have some opportunities there to get some value out of them. All right, it's going to do it for us today and for this week on The Press. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Hopefully you have a winning week. Love to hear from you. Show me your tickets. If you have any last-minute questions or advice, requests, shoot me an email, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Threads. I'm on Instagram, any of those things, @RyanBallingy. Join Golf News Net for $99 a year. We'll be back next week. We've got the Open next week, which is awesome. We'll get ready for all of that. Get you ready with shows basically just focused on that. I don't even know what other tournaments are next week, and I don't care. We're talking about the Open next week. So get ready for the final men's major of the year. Hope you have a winning weekend. Have plenty of ammo to come with this to go at Hoylake and Royal Liverpool. And we'll come back to you next week with some more shows to get ready for the final major of the year. I'm Ryan Balaji. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time on The Press.
SpinQuest Social Casino. The presents are open and you're over the in-laws. It's a perfect time to grab your phone and play SpinQuest.com with live dealer blackjack, craps, and a ton of slots. And here's a great deal for the holiday, a $30 coin pack for $10. And if you're hearing this ad, you can play right now on SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.